Practice Book, Module A, Unit 3, Exercise 19. Listen to the second part of The Canterville Ghost and answer the questions.
The ghost selected Friday, the 17th of August, for his next appearance and spent most of that day in looking over his wardrobe, ultimately deciding in favour of a large hat with a red feather, a white sheet frilled at the wrists and neck, and a rusty dagger. Towards evening, a violent storm of rain came on, and the wind was so high that all the windows and doors in the old house shook and rattled. In fact, it was just such weather as he loved. His plan of action was this. He was to make his way quietly to Washington Otis's room, gibber at him from the foot of the bed, and stab himself three times in the throat to the sound of low music. When he had reduced the youth to a condition of abject terror, he was then to proceed to the room occupied by the United States Minister and his wife, and there to place a cold hand on Mrs. Otis's forehead, while he hissed into her trembling husband's ear the awful secrets of death. As midnight sounded, he sallied forth. The owl beat against the window panes, the raven croaked from the old yew tree, and the wind wandered moaning round the house like a lost soul. But the Otis family slept unconscious of their doom, and high above the rain and storm he could hear the steady snoring of the Minister for the United States. He stepped out of the wall with an evil smile on his cruel, wrinkled mouth. On and on he glided, like an evil shadow, the very darkness seeming to loathe him as he passed. He went on, muttering strange 16th-century curses and brandishing the rusty dagger in the midnight air. Finally, he reached the corner of the passage that led to luckless Washington's room. For a moment, he paused there, the wind blowing his long grey locks about his head and twisting into grotesque and fantastic folds the nameless horror of the dead man's shroud. Then the clock struck the quarter, and he felt the time was come. He chuckled to himself and turned the corner. But no sooner had he done so than, with a piteous wail of terror, he fell back and hid his blanched face in his long, bony hands. Right in front of him was standing a horrible spectre, motionless as a carven image and monstrous as a madman's dream. Never having seen a ghost before, he naturally was terribly frightened, and after a second hasty glance at the awful phantom, he fled back to his room, tripping up in his long white sheet as he sped down the corridor, and finally dropping the rusty dagger into the minister's boots. Once in the privacy of his own apartment, he flung himself down on a small pallet bed and hid his face under the clothes. Feeling braver next morning, he determined to confront the visiting phantom, but to his horror and disgust, when he reached the corridor, all he found was a white bed curtain with a sweeping brush and a hollow turnip lying at his feet. The only sound was of two boys laughing.